Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Before we get into Bruce Allen's future and whether or not you guys would be okay with Bruce being reassigned but still being in the organization, if that would be enough of your pound of flesh. John Clayton, by the way, is on the show at 11:30. I want to buy or sell something with you really quick.
Please.
I've told you I've been getting this new sports email that I signed up for from Axios that's really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things they mentioned, and I just want to see what you think about this, is their big thing today was college hoops is losing relevance, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Now, here's kind of what they wrote, and this is quick, so I'll just kind of run through the bullet points. But they said, former number one recruit, potential number one draft pick, James Wiseman announced on Instagram yesterday he's leaving Memphis, he's hired an agent, and he's going to start preparing for the 2020 NBA draft. Now, for people that don't know his story at all, the cliff notes are this. Wiseman missed the past seven games. He's been suspended in the Pac-12, got this suspension. It came as a result of his coach, Penny Hardaway, paying his mom $11,500 in 2017 before Penny Hardaway even accepted the Memphis job. Per the NCAA, Hardaway was considered a booster at the time, making the payment an improper benefit. So that's why he got suspended. So you could easily kind of dismiss this and say, well, this kid's suspended anyway. He got in trouble. He's tired of being there and being kind of vilified by the NCAA. So he's just getting out of college basketball. But the NCAA tournament is only a couple of months away now.
Right.
Right? It's coming up in March. Three of the top five American draft prospects are not going to be on the court for this tournament. And not because their teams don't make it. Like, they're not playing college basketball right now. LaMelo Ball's the number one pick right now, according to ESPN Plus's latest mock draft. He plays professionally in Australia. RJ Hampton, who's the number five player playing professionally in New Zealand right now,
part of this draft class,
he's not here. And you've got Wiseman, the number three player, who is withdrawing from Memphis to basically go start studying the NBA game with his agent and preparing himself on his own outside of college basketball. The point they're making is that this is not just about the NCAA's rule enforcement. In fact, Dan Wolkin wrote a story for USA Today saying the opposite of that. He said it's about the nation's top recruits deciding that 5 months of training is going to be more valuable than playing college basketball, and that this could be more and more prevalent with some of the rule changes coming as we go on. Wiseman still could have played the last 16 games for a Memphis team that's 9-1, currently ranked 11th in the country. He could have won a conference title. He could have been named the All-American and every other list basically out there, and he could have played in a Final Four, as good as this team is.
Yeah.
And he said, no thanks, I'll just get ready for the NBA draft. So are you buying or selling that college basketball is losing relevance?
100% buy. And that's going to be, people will bristle at that. They'll just reflexively say, that's not true, I still love, name your program or whatever it is, or I still tune in. It has been marginalized by a number of things. One, the one-and-done type rule, which made sense at the time, has just cannibalized it. Two,
it's killed it.
The NBA just kind of, and the NBA shouldn't worry about it necessarily. The NBA's got to worry about the NBA.
Real quick, let me ask you, because for me, the one-and-done rule, I remember when it was instituted, it was for college basketball, basically, is what they
said.
That
was the idea.
Right, because guys would skip college basketball, and they would pull the T-Mac or the Kevin Garnett or the Kobe or whatever. You're just going high school to the NBA. You don't play in college. And the point was, well, let's make players go to college. It's great for college basketball. And I think it's completely backfired.
Well, here's the thing. That was the public version. It's like, oh, we're giving you a charge in the name of safety. We're charging you for safety. And that's how we disguise it. It's really just to make money. What it really was teams were tired of babysitting 18-year-olds who had never played beyond high school.
Of course.
And you're waiting for Jerome James to figure it out or I don't know, the million names come
Kwame
to mind.
Kwame Brown, yeah, where Glenn Academy in Georgia.
Where you're basically like, you've got to pay him in the years that he should be producing for you to figure out how to be a pro for two, three, four, five seasons, and then he goes somewhere else.
One and done is supposed to be abolished by 2022. So you got the G League, which has begun, and now is essentially a legitimate developmental league for the NBA as well. So college basketball, according to what you know they wrote in this newsletter that I get, could be in deep trouble once it's no longer mandated as a pit stop. So the idea is that the one-and-done has hurt college basketball. If you get rid of the one-and-done, though, is college basketball cooked? Because I have to imagine, if you don't have to go there for a year, we're going to have more high schoolers making the jump than ever,
yes,
especially with the G League, because you're getting paid to play professionally. You're getting treated like a pro. Like, I think this still happens. I know it did last year. The G Leaguers live in that super nice building right above Walter Sports Bar over there. Like, that's where they're put up and basically stay by the team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think college basketball is, I don't want to say it'll never be the same, but it's in big, big trouble.
It will not be the same. And that was kind of inevitable. The NCAA didn't see it coming. And, you know, they'll keep chugging along and make money because of the NCAA tournament and gambling and some of the conference deals and things. But it used to be marquee. I'm telling you, I grew up in that era where it was magic. You would tune in every night to whatever ACC matchup it was. The sixth or seventh best team in the ACC was like Georgia Tech and Wake was a war. It was like Matt Harpring and Tim Duncan and Randolph Childress and Chris Paul later or the Travis Best era. And these were just okay teams in the ACC. It was must-see television. That's gone. It's long gone. Hasn't been the case in a while, and it's getting worse.
It used to be just the superstars, though, would make the jump. With this system now, with the G League, I think this is everybody. Like, even if I'm not going to be a Kevin Garnett mm-hmm. and jump to the NBA and be really good right away, I could skip college and go to the G League and spend 2 or 3 years developing and not worrying about going to school, not take classes. Plus, you got the players who are supposedly unionizing, which maybe the salaries would go up, which uh-huh. would make it even more likely to do that. Obviously, in the NCAA, they're trying to fight paying athletes altogether. So I just don't know how you – it seems to me like the toothpaste is out of the tube here. I don't know how they fix this.
So you're right about the top line. So there's always – for every argument against letting guys go from high school to the NBA, in general, I'm opposed to that, by the way, just simply because most 99.9% of basketball players are just simply not ready for that, and it's a team that can't pass on a guy, but then at the same time has to babysit him for however many years, and it's not productive. The counter-argument, well, LeBron James. Every once in a while, there's a LeBron James who could just do it. Every once in a while, there's a Zion Williamson who could just absolutely walk out of the gym in South Carolina and go play on an NBA roster and get you 16 and 12, right? So there's always those holes in it. Maybe you can make a case-by-case basis. I don't know how you make a rule and with those exceptions in mind. To me, though, the thing that you'll always have to a degree is, I have no better name for it, calling it the John Morant phenomenon, a guy that nobody heard of. Hoop heads knew,
yeah.
But for the most part, the regular populace didn't really have a clue. He gets to the NCAA tournament, and everyone goes, holy bleep, look at that.
Guys like me, who I saw him once or twice in the regular season, thought nothing of it. You know, not that I watched his full games, but I saw a highlight of it. Oh, that dude's pretty good. Was Mercer, right? What school was he? I can't remember.
Now I'm blanking.
John Morant.
Where
college.
Did John Morant go?
Dar.
At Weber
college.
State. That's Harold Larson.
No.
Where did
Murray State.
Murray State.
Thank
goodness
you.
Gracious.
So
thank you.
You don't watch them, but then in
you're
the tournament.
You're not watching the Murray State Racers.
I'm sitting there at Charlestown, and I'm going, John Morant is unbelievable. And within 3 weeks, I've decided this guy's going to have a better career than Zion. I'm going to track this guy harder. This is the guy I would draft number one. I love everything about him. You get that in college. You're not getting that in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing they point out here is you get those built-in student alumni bases. College basketball has the developmental leagues built in terms of exposure.
Right.
But some of these guys, this is just the elite, they don't need the exposure. Like this guy Wiseman already has a couple hundred thousand followers on Instagram almost.
That's what's different now is it used to be you needed the platform desperately, right, to get yourself on national television a bunch. You have a pre-built brand when you walk into the NBA. Now these guys, A, play so much. You didn't get to play that much. You couldn't get a game. Now you're playing 100 games and your high school season is – barely a blip on the radar. It's all travel. It's ABCD camp. It's Nike Elite camp. It's this top six. You're traveling around the world with Team USA. You're doing a billion things. So if you're James Wiseman, you've got the exposure. ESPN cameras have been in your face for 2 years already before you set foot on Memphis. You don't need any more exposure. People know exactly what he can and can't do at this point.
Think about the fact that come the tournament, three of the top five American college-age basketball players who are going to come off the board won't be playing college basketball. Who are going to be drafted in the top five in this class. We could take a couple calls on this before we get into Bruce and what we were going to hit. I'd be curious to see what people think. 800-636-1067. Again, this isn't a little newsletter I get. It was just something I stumbled into this morning and I started thinking about. But their point is that college hoops has lost relevance. I think that's probably hard to argue, but I wonder if it's a cyclical thing. I wonder if this is just a timing issue where LaMelo Ball, his own situation, where you know his dad has these wacky ideas and basically moves his kids all over the
but
place
we've
to
seen
play basketball.
This. Everyone from Brandon Jennings to Emmanuel Mudiay to a number of guys have decided, I'm better off just making
money. RJ Hampton's not a part of the Big Baller brand, and he's in New Zealand right now. Where does college basketball go from here? And what about if we do change, which everyone says it's being abolished, the one-and-done rule, does that help or hurt? And does that improve the college basketball game right away at that point? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
My guys over at Ted Burkford are celebrating 60 years in the biz. 60 years. Think about that. Think about doing something for 60 years. You can't just be okay at it, right? Then you'll get like 12 years. If you're pretty good, you'll get like 26. If you're great at it, you can go strong through 60, and here's to 60 more to my guys at Ted Burkford. Here's how they're celebrating. Both the holiday sales event, the Built for the Holiday sales event's happening right now, and their 60-year anniversary, right? You get the best buying experience in town. I should know. Done it three different times over there at Ted Burkford. And you get a little something called Ted Burkford for Life. But what does that mean? I'll tell you. It means confidence for life, okay? Big stuff like the powertrain. Little stuff like service loaners. Little things they take care of. They just take care of it. Battery replacement. Windshield repair, chips or cracks, they got you. Complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. So that's all done, right? Prices can't be beat. Ford makes the cars. Ted Britt makes the difference. Every day they get you 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in, right? And when you go, you will experience some deals like this. How about $14,900 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford F-250 SD? So here's the deal. There are these 2019s that are sitting on the lot, and they got to go. They need to go. They got to go. $10,800 off a 2019 Ford Ranger, for example. $9,400 below MSRP on a 2019 Ford Mustang. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? Inexpensive cars. Great cars. Don't pay them anything for 60 days because they're 60-year anniversary. Great treatment of a person. You got to go see my guys at Ted Burkford Tell Me.
A front office restructuring in a few, but some people wanted to chime in on a little discussion we stumbled into. So, again, I get this little sports blurby newsletter in the morning. And one of the things they said is college hoops is losing relevance. And I kind of just skimmed past it. As I started reading, the argument they make is that three of the top five picks in this year's college basketball class are guys who aren't going to be playing college basketball at the time of the draft. Two will be playing overseas. One is basically punting on the rest of the college season to go to the draft after getting suspended, even though he'd still have a chance to play in a conference tournament, to play in the NCAA tournament, to cut down the nets, all the things you probably dream of as a kid. I just walked over to Byron at the update desk because he's the voice of George Washington basketball in town, is a big college hoops guy, just to get his perspective. And his point is, now, this is probably just a now thing. I don't know if this is as grave maybe as the end for college basketball and what have you. But here is kind of what I brought up to him. Put yourself in the shoes of a 16-year-old kid who's great at basketball, who has an NBA future. Do you go to college or now with the G League? And I think that's the game changer for me. Do I go make money?
You don't have to go to Greece. You don't have to go around the world, China, or whatever.
I live in an American city. You know, I could live in Washington, D.C. and play for the Go-Go and make reasonable money. Now, they're unionizing and trying to get more money. I really don't know what those guys make right now that aren't on NBA contracts. I have no idea. But let's say it's tens of thousands of dollars to not go to college to play basketball, to be coached at an NBA level, to be in the pipeline now for the Wizards where they have a couple injuries, and next thing you know, you get a 10-day contract in the NBA. I just feel like that's the part of this that I think is going to hurt college basketball the most, because it used to be only, we would always say, Danny, only the best of the best are going to skip college. But now I think the second best, the third best might as well, because I'll just go make cash, play in the G League, and see where it takes me.
Well, this isn't to suggest, by the way, that teams that schools will just stop fielding college basketball teams.
Of course
and it's going to go away. So I think that's what people hear when they say that. But think about our own thing. Think about radio, right? We aren't that far removed from radio hosts being larger than anything in a town. Millionaires, right? Whether it was Don and Mike, or there's Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony. Those days are gone, right? They still exist, these people, but they're on Sirius. They're kind of doing their own thing. But the local guy who was like the biggest deal ever, that's dead. Just it evolves. College basketball is evolving, and it's been trending in this direction for years before this one-and-done rule.
Jason on Twitter says, I'd watch more when one-and-dones are gone from college basketball. Significantly more four-year players create more parity between the Blue Bloods and the rest of the nation. I'll say this, as someone who likes watching Georgetown basketball, not as much here lately, but as a fan of them, I grew up going, you know, rooting for Maryland and George Mason at a time where they had a bunch of four-year guys, the tournament teams from Mason and VCU, a lot of the smaller schools, the Stephen F. Austins that pull off the upsets. It's a bunch of juniors and seniors and guys who have played hundreds of college games. UVA was this way. So there is something to be said for the product maybe suffering from an athletic standpoint. Maybe you get more of that like UVA brand of basketball that can be tough to watch. But people like that too. It's different. Andres in Manassas, you think college basketball is in any trouble right now?
No, I don't. I think it's actually going to be a good thing for college basketball. You know, I have a little boy, and the one thing I realize when it comes to basketball, you need to get minutes. And the way the system is set up right now, NCAA, NBA, you have a lot of decent players who don't get enough minutes to improve. And I think if you have this particular situation where you have, you know, college basketball, like your texter just said, those guys are going to get minutes and they're going to become better players for it. Obviously, you have the people in the D League. The one thing I have for you, a question I have, it sounds like it's going to be like baseball, where you have college baseball, you know, minor leagues, Bush League baseball, and the pros. But in terms of drafting players, in MLB, do you have to, like, sign up or apply for the draft? Because I see in the MLB, these guys, they draft people in high school. I guess these guys don't have agents. If the NBA were to go ahead and do so, start drafting players, and I realize it's a totally new paradigm, I think that will help as well.
Yeah, it's different in baseball. Trey. It's a good point because, you know, in baseball, you are eligible for the draft when you've completed, you know, high school. And so what happens is these guys get drafted, and after being drafted, they either sign with the team professionally or they go to college. When you go to college, you have to play 3 years of college baseball in the NCAA ranks. If you go to, you know, like, what, junior college, you could do what Bryce Harper did and go for a year. That's why he went to the College of Southern Nevada. But if you go to a major college program, you got to spend 3 years. But you can be drafted, and then basically you have the leverage of saying, meet my demands or I'm going to play where I'm committed at Texas A&M. Let's go to Scott in Arlington on the fan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Scott.
Hey guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Got it.
I appreciate you guys talking about this, something different than just Bruce Allen every single time. but, no, I think it's a great discussion. I think – without the one-and-done rule, it doesn't kill college basketball at all. I think it puts the onus on the NBA teams to still draft the players. And like you said, 3 to 5 players may go out of high school directly, but it's not going to be that much of an impact that kill college basketball.
But do you think it trends in a direction where it's 3 this year, where in the future maybe it's 4 or 5? Like, is this just a bad thing now, or is it a trend?
No, because it puts the risk on the NBA teams to draft these guys. And they could say no, you know, nobody's going to take a risk on either signing these kids or drafting them to even put them into the G League. They still have to prove themselves. It's not like anybody, any 18-year-old kid that can play college basketball is now going to go to the G League.
No, that's
it's only going to be a handful of kids.
Scott,
just like
how,
it is
real quick,
year.
How old are you, buddy?
26 now.
26. So I appreciate the call, dude. So to me, and I'm not joning, but the point to say, it's not going to kill college basketball. If you're my age or you're a little bit younger, a little bit older, you remember what this was, what college hoops was.
Basketball.
Yeah, where I'm telling you, where it was the Big East, it was a war every night. Same with the ACC, same with some of these other conferences. It hasn't been like that in a long time.
So you're saying college basketball's already been killed?
College basketball has been different for some time.
Yeah.
Wake up and smell the difference. Like, this is real. This is not the same. And it's been trending in that direction. It was a major deal when the best player of all time left college as a junior. The greatest player ever to play this game left as a junior, and it was a tremendous story. How laughable does that sound now?
Have you seen James Wiseman play?
Just YouTube videos. I mean, okay, no games. No.
Yeah, okay.
That's not true. I actually saw him play against Oregon where he wasn't that good.
So, I mean, supposedly, you know, again, we're talking about a top 5 pick. And I get if your point is it's just 3 guys. I'm saying that the G League part of this is the game changer, and I don't think it's going to be just three guys. You know, the NFL, Mike Shanahan and some people tried to get together and have this, like, semi-pro league that was a feeder to the NFL, where the idea was going to be that you could forego college out of high school, go play there for a couple years. To me, that's what the NBA's thinking for the G League. It's minor league baseball for basketball. Let's go to Myron in Springfield. How's it going?
Hey, good, Grant and Danny. So I'm a huge college basketball fan, probably more than any other sport. And the reason I love it is because of it. There's more parity now. And because, okay, you may hear about three or four different guys that go pro or, you know, don't want to go to school, but that doesn't ruin the brand of the game. I mean, the brand of the game is more the coaches than the players. They're not selling.
And the programs,
the
right?
The players. Mm. What?
And the programs, too.
Well, right. That's what I'm talking about. The, you know, the programs, the Mike Krzyzewski, the, you know, the Roy Williams, you know, those types of programs are what sell college basketball, not, you know, other, not players. And that's why it's fun. That's why it's fun every year as opposed to the NBA.
So I think that's a really good call. I would tell you, though, come tournament time, for the average basketball fan like me, it becomes about the players. Like, I watch for Ja Morant. I watch for Zion. But I get what you're saying. Steve Fairfax, you get the last word on this.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I think really college basketball has been on the bad track for a while now, and not so much because of the young guys coming out of high school, but to me, number one, they play too many games. I remember there was a time where 20 wins was the benchmark for being a good team, like being a tournament team. Now you almost have to win like 30, 35 games, and it's like, you know, you're wondering who are they playing. And to me, I think also they – you know, the conference realignment, like, Danny, I'm near your age. Like, when Georgetown was playing, you know, Seton Hall, Villanova, Maryland playing North Carolina, Duke, that
must
got
watch.
You routed.
Must
I
watch.
Mean, you
yep.
know, it's like, well, I don't want to see Maryland playing Ohio State. That doesn't get the blood flowing, you know what I mean? So
that's a big part of it, too.
That's what I think, guys, you know?
And the conference Appreciate realignment, so Maryland obviously chose to leave, but you look at the Big East kind of being ripped apart.
Syracuse is an ACC team. What?
Georgetown Syracuse was this past weekend, and for those fan bases, it's still, they get up like it's the Super Bowl. I know, like, my wife and her brother, they're like pregame and out in D.C. and everything. It's a huge, huge game. That used to just be the season. That was
right?
their, you know what I mean? That was their,
it was
their
marquee,
game that they
man.
Always got. That has changed a lot, and I wish they would have not changed and stopped tweaking all the conferences. Because that meant something. It's like ripping apart the NFC East if the Redskins and Cowboys were suddenly in two different divisions. That would be backbreaking.
That's exactly right.
John Clayton knows a thing or two about the Redskins and the Cowboys. We will talk to him about the Skins matchup with New York next on Grant and Danny. Three games tomorrow. The Saturday slate kicking off in the afternoon because limited college football action with some of the obscure bowl games. And that means on this Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown, every game, every bet for real sports fans, we go to the phones and welcome on our buddy John Clayton, who we love having on the show to get us set for the upcoming NFL games. John, starting with tomorrow, you got the Patriots and the Bills. What would it signify, what would it mean, if Buffalo knocks off New England, pulls even going into Week 17 in the AFC East?
Well, I wouldn't say it'd be a changing of the guard, but I think it starts to point to, if Buffalo can win, that the changing of the Patriots now has reached the point where now they don't have that dominant position. You know, I still think that the Patriots win because the game's in Foxborough. You look at the two quarterbacks, and even though there's hardly anything that Tom Brady has to work with other than Julian Edelman and James White, there's more to work with it, with Buffalo and Josh Allen. But still, you've got the success record that Tom Brady's had through the years, and there's more chance that Josh Allen is going to make one or two turnovers as opposed to Tom Brady. So you still think that the Patriots have the edge, and, you know, even though clearly their offense is a mess, they have no separation at the wide receiver position. They have nothing at tight end. They're limited at some of their running game, and they're not as good on the offensive line. But hey, they're the Patriots. They always seem to win. And after this, you'll see where it goes to see if Tom Brady's back next year.
John, I always try not to overreact to certain things, but I'm 100% overreacting to what the Cowboys did this past week against the Rams. 44-21, it wasn't even that close. A bunch of garbage time things for the Rams. Dallas throttled them. How confident are you that that's the Dallas team we see this Sunday and then maybe going forward, making them pretty dangerous?
Yeah, not as confident as you, because remember, I mean, that's the first time they've actually beaten a team with a winning record, and they were able to do it the right way, because if you take away the Ram running game, then they just aren't as good because you put everything on Jared Goff, and if you can get pressure on Jared Goff and you know they have the guys that can put pressure on the quarterback, you can take things away. And this one against Philadelphia, I mean, this could also be pretty one-sided, although you kind of wonder, the Philadelphia Eagles defense is pretty good. But on offense, I mean, this is the worst wide receiving group that they've had in two decades. They have nothing to throw to other than Zach Ernst and throw things in a two tight end set. And now we don't know if Nelson Aguilar is going to be healthy enough to play. So what you look at is that the Eagles can't score points where the Cowboys can. And if that's going to be the case, then the Cowboys should win the division.
John Clayton on Grant and Danny. I've been saying for a few weeks, I think people are not taking the Chiefs seriously enough. I know there are questions about their defense, but they allowed 3 points to the Broncos in a snowstorm this past weekend, 16 to New England the week before that. They held the Raiders to single digits the week before that. It seems like they're really rounding into form going into the playoffs.
Yeah, they really are, and you're right about the defense because, I mean, where it was giving up like 27, 28 points a game last year, until this most recent stretch, it was giving up like 23 or less. And now in the last 5 weeks, it's given up about 11 points a game. And then you start to look, I mean, Frank Clark goes to the Pro Bowl as a defensive end. It's a pass rusher. They're a little bit better in the secondary. I'm surprised it didn't claim Janoris Jenkins, to be honest, because I thought that would be one that would even help put them over the top, because Jack Rabbit could really help out the secondary. But no, the defense is better, and they got Patrick Mahomes. And so with the offense that they have and the defense getting better, they now are formidable and very well could be a Super Bowl team.
San Francisco dropped that game to Atlanta. And after that epic war they had in New Orleans, maybe the best game of the year, John, that 48-46 last-second victory, which was incredible, that, understand kind of a hiccup, but just kind of came at a bad time for them. They're 500 in their last six games. They were great early in the season. They're not playing badly right now. I'm having a tough time getting a read on them heading into this, a couple great divisional games against the Rams and Seahawks to close the season. Where are you at on the Niners?
In the Atlanta game, the injuries caught up to them, and particularly, I mean, they've had games where, they played Arizona on a Thursday and Seattle on a Sunday, and what ends up happening in those two games, they had about 8 to 10 guys that were hurt. All right, so now they play the Saints, and they get about 5-6 guys hurt to a point where the inactive list was all injured guys, and most of them were on defense. I mean, think about the casualties they had going into the Atlanta game. Richard Sherman couldn't play because of a hamstring. Jaquiski Tartt was out with a shoulder. Dee Ford out with a hamstring. D.J. Jones, their starting defensive tackle, he was put on the injured reserve list, but he had an ankle injury. So all those injuries, along with the fact that they lost Kwame Alexander, it just all caught up to them, and so they get 29 points scored against Atlanta. Now, they're a little bit healthier this week, but they still could have some problems with the Rams. If they can take away the running game, they can be fine. But if not, they could even lose this game.
John Clayton, always excellent with us here on Grant and Danny on winning on 106.7. The Fan, winning off the field coming up in just a few, and we'll have your blitz at noon. John, I'm curious about the Vikings-Packers matchup on Monday Night Football, because Green Bay, to me, is better. If Minnesota wins without Dalvin Cook and maybe without their top two running backs, it could be a signature Kirk Cousins W in primetime, and it could signify maybe that Minnesota late this season is the team to beat in that division. Do you think they can pull it off?
I think it's going to be tough without Dalvin Cook. I feel much better about their chances had he been able to play, but now with that shoulder, he's just not going to be able to go. And you know how Mike Zimmer is if he can't get the running game going. I mean, he's a big advocate of getting the running game going, to the point where in the opener, I mean, he was happy to have Kirk Cousins only throw 10 passes. I mean, he loves that. And so that could be a problem. And right now, the Packers go in with Aaron Jones, who is a Pro Bowl alternate, and a better chance to run the football. But ultimately, it still comes down to Kirk Cousins going against Aaron Rodgers. And Kirk's records against winning quarterbacks and good quarterbacks. So it could be tough. But, I think this game is a coin toss right now. I know that the odds makers at the beginning of the week had Minnesota as the 4-point favorite. That was a little bit of a surprise. But I still think that, don't count the Vikings out. It's a good football team, and this should be a great game.
John, outside of injury to Lamar Jackson, I guess that would be the most obvious thing. But what can stop Baltimore? What could be their undoing down the stretch or into the postseason?
Yeah, obviously any injury to Lamar Jackson would be devastating because that's what they do. I mean, he runs everything and he throws so well out of the pocket. I would have to think, I mean, the only thing would be the defense because, you know, they still only have one true pass rusher, Matt Judon, but what they also have is a great scheme, and they've been scheming up with the blitzes and all that stuff. But, you know, if they all of a sudden find a way to be behind in the first half, they may have a game where they may struggle to bounce back because I don't know if the offense is good enough to come back. But, of course, they don't have to worry about it when they're scoring sometimes 40 points and only giving up 10. I mean, they're that good. But they're the best team in football right now. But like anything else, a couple injuries can throw things off.
Thank you, John. We appreciate the time, as always.
Enjoy the weekend.
Okay, thanks.
Always love John Clayton on Grant and Danny. Let's win off the field next. Remember, this is the 10-year anniversary week
special
of Bruce Allen in Washington. He was hired on December 17th, 2009. We spent a day this week back on Tuesday celebrating his 10 years. So let's make this Friday winning off the field extra special, shall we? Give us your A game, 800-636-1067. Tell us how you are winning off the field.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Time to figure out how you
damn good
are winning off
damn
the
good
field. We're your pals Grant and Danny on this 20th day of December.
Damn good.
2020 coming quickly. How excited are people, by the way, just to be able to say 2020? People are writing 2020 a lot everywhere.
It's a lot.
There's immense giddiness over the fact that it's a year that just sounds cool.
Well, it's easier to write out than 2019.
Certainly is.
Right? Just a couple, you know, a couple twos, couple aughts, and you got it.
It's time to figure out, though, what's gone right in your day. Explain to people what winning off the field's all about, Danny.
It's got to be small. It can't be big. If you have a financial windfall, bully for you, get out of here. Not for this.
Winning season on the field.
Thank you, Bruce. If you got married, you had a kid. You
winning on the
got
field.
Promoted. All good things, but taken on down the line, Skippy. This is about menial, tiny, small, insignificant things that have gone right for you. I can give you an example.
I would love to hear one.
Do you want an example? You want to do the example first? Or you want me to do it first?
No, you give me one.
You talk first, I talk first. I'll talk first. I'm happy to do it. Consecutive days. We got a streak. Wednesday. I don't have a Christmas spirit anymore. You don't need one. Wednesday. The Mandalorian drops a new episode 2 days early. I watch it. Thursday, I go and see Rise of Skywalker in theaters. Friday, that is today, brand new Netflix series, The Witcher, starring Dreamboat Henry Cavill, debuts. I cannot wait. It is a time of dorks. It is a time for nerds. It is not a time for regular people who were good at sports in high school. It's a time for us. It's a time for the people that you made fun of. Now we have all the entertainment. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I thought you played high school baseball well enough to go to George Washington University.
Yeah, it was whatever, but I'm a dork. I did. I mean, that's all true, but I'm a giant dork face.
Okay.
Danny Rauher.
That guy was pretty cool.
I thought you could dunk a basketball and played good at hoops.
Danny Rauher.
Back in the day, but I've been a closet. I used to have to be embarrassed
Danny Rauher
of this. I used to hide the fact that I was a great big dork. Now we have all the entertainment.
I do have Christmas spirit.
Go.
And because it's December 20th and I love Christmas and I love the holidays and my favorite memories of my childhood are all right around this time of year when my parents and my mom would make this such a special time, I am.
Winning off the field?
Because I have Christmas spirit and I love December 25th.
I don't have a Christmas spirit anymore.
One of us does. One of us will always have.
You carry the torch for this program.
A Christmas spirit. One of us hasn't been robbed of his Christmas spirit by his children. As you put it on the show. Let's go to Matt in Centerville. What? Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. First, I wanted to thank you guys for motivating me and inspiring me. And earlier last week, I graduated the EMP 180 program.
So right.
I am.
Look at you.
Winning on the field.
How much you down?
I am down 68 pounds.
Good Lord.
18% body fat. And 12 visceral fat units. It is awesome.
Winning
my
on
knees
the field.
Have never felt better.
Way to go, buddy. That's so cool. Congrats.
Winning on the field.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. You guys have a good holiday. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy
Take that, haters.
Holidays to you.
Now, good for him, but Tommy's right. I think that's an on-field win. That's
way
a life-change
important.
Thing.
But yeah. I'm glad he called us because we don't hear enough from people who tell us they graduated the program.
It's very cool.
And it just makes me feel good. You know, we've got a commercial airing right now where a young guy named Goran came in studio that I recorded with. I met Goran when he was at EMP 180 in Woodbridge the day he came in with, I believe it was his father.
He's a fun guy.
I'm trying to remember now. He was a family member, and he was needing to lose close to 200 pounds.
Morten Gortat.
Done that. And that's right, Morten Gortat.
Morten Gortat.
Morten Gortat.
Morten Gortat.
He now works at EMP 180 as a coach.
Gortat.
Let's go to Mike in Reston. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Hey, guys. Happy 10 years.
Hey, Bob.
And the same to you, sir.
Hey, so I moved a few months ago, and I'm working on decluttering last night, and I'm going through a box that I never went through, and I found a pair of shoes, and they are the only pair of shoes that I currently own that don't stink up a room.
Oh, wow.
That's winning crazy. Off the field.
Are you the kind of guy, Danny, that, like, as soon as you wear a pair of new shoes three times, they smell bad?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah.
I don't think I have smelly feet. Like, if I
well,
get
you're not
home
a sweater.
From work.
You're just not a sweaty guy.
I know, but follow me here. If, all like, right. Me and my wife are just laying there watching a movie, I'll never be the guy whose feet stink. But I am the guy that I'll wear a pair of new shoes once or twice, and they'll never smell right again. See what I'm saying?
Of course.
But, like, my socks don't stink just laying on the couch.
What's that one? Give me that one again. The sweaty protein eater. That's me.
Let's go to Steve in Leesburg. Hey, Steve.
I'm sweaty.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
normally I don't get a chance to listen to you guys, but I'm actually on the way to a holiday party offsite from my office. That is a mile from my house, and I don't need to go back to work until 2020.
Perfect. Winning so off the field
until 2020. My guy is done for over a week and a half.
Let me see, what's the day?
What 20, a miracle.
11 days, yeah.
Let's go to Mindy in Ashburn.
Surprise.
On Grant and Danny. Hello, Mindy.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Robert.
Hey, this is for your female listeners. I am having a really good hair day. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Now, constituting a good hair day is what exactly? It's falling just the right way. It looks the way you want it to. What do you mean by that?
How dare you?
Yeah, both of those, it looks good, but also I've gotten 3 compliments, so that helps a lot, too.
Wow. 3 compliments.
Where's my camera?
3 compliments.
When's the last time you got 3 compliments on your physical appearance in one day? I don't think I've ever had that happen.
1998.
Yeah. I'll bet you I was 7. I was, like, at the store with my mom, and people were like, oh, he has nice eyes.
Like, I'm not even doing a bit. Like, probably in the 90s, where, like, I didn't dress up normally, and then I wore something nice to, like, prom.
Rich
soak
and only.
Over it and, you know, look at each other. And
that's what you do, Doug.
What do you got for us?
What's up, gentlemen? Merry Christmas.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. You too.
I drafted terribly in the Grant and Danner Listener League, and yet somehow I did not finish in last place. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
It's because Danny, again, pulled up the rear. Phil and Alexandria sent me a hilarious text yesterday because he was getting railed on the show yesterday.
He got beat up yesterday for no reason.
So
he's
like,
shrapnel.
So no one on the show's rooting for me? I said, no, I'm rooting for you. He goes, it sounded like you were rooting for Dar. But I told him I was rooting for
Dar.
And Tom is very clearly rooting for Dar. Dar is rooting for Dar. I think you're rooting for Dar. But so anyway, he goes, well, is Danny rooting for me? I was like, I don't know. And then he goes, Danny's getting last again, and we're not talking about it because he's just going to say he cares about 13 other leagues more than this. I just thought it was funny. He just started zinging you for no reason.
What? Again, what's happening a lot, this Grant and Danny League is meant to bring people together.
Supposed
All that's
to.
Doing is tearing people apart. There are factions
he's
now.
He's pivoting. He's there's changing
team,
the subject.
There's team. I didn't do anything. I like Phil. I like Dar. Now I'm getting shrapnel? Why am I getting tech shrapnel?
I don't know why you were getting shrapnel. I think because he perceived it that you were rooting for Dar in the championship game.
I'm miserable because I'm getting last
I have
last
no
game.
Idea what you're talking about.
You're in
Jay,
last place.
My point is I'm terrible in that league. I don't like being terrible.
I had a terrible team in that league at least once, maybe twice as well. But I think you have now, if we were actually doing relegation, you'd be relegated twice.
Yes. The first year, I think I finished second to last. Then got beat by the guy that never showed up and never changed his team.
Right.
He had 3 players not playing. I lost to that guy.
I was so bad that year, too.
Yeah. So I think I was second to last. Would have been relegated. And this year, I am dead last. 100% last.
Let's go to Vic in Silver Spring. We're winning off the field. Vic, how are you?
Hey, George and Doug. Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Thank you.
Winning
that.
Off the field. had a watch missing for quite a while, put on a jacket the other night for a girlfriend's dinner, and bada bing, bada boom, right in my pocket.
Winning off the field.
My guy found his watch. Steve and Sterling, you're winning off the field. Bing, bing, bing,
you know. Yes, sir. It's bulking season. Christmas party coming up, so I'm going to eat until I can't move.
I love
winning
that.
Off the field.
Go for it.
Until you are laying there and feel like you might get sick. That's the goal.
That's what you do.
Sean in Fredericksburg.
Happy holidays, guys.
You too.
I'm winning off the field because I walked into 7-Eleven, ended up with a free cup of coffee, and I got the gal on the counter handed me a coupon for a free dozen donuts from Krispy Kreme.
Winning off the field.
And they're the best kind of donuts,
that's
we all know.
What a boon. That's
hot,
unbelievable.
Krispy Kreme glazed donuts all day long.
What?
Rick in Gainesville, how are you?
Good, good. Merry Christmas to you guys. I called on Bruce Allen's day and asked you about the Dungeons & Dragons question.
Mm. Oh, that was a great question.
It's a great question.
I've been playing that audio to all my dorky friends. It has made me the king of the geeks. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Can I ask a follow-up? What did you decide to do? Will you tweet me at Fun and Danny? I think he's gone. What did you decide? He had a really tough decision to make. Whether to be an orc cleric or then there was another. I think it was a rogue.
I told him to be a cleric, right?
Yeah. But what you conflated is their species, orc, and then caste, which is cleric.
Right?
So you thought they had to be in opposition and they're not. I mean, that's amateur stuff.
I understand. Mom, I got the Galahorn!
Beltway Blitz at noon is next. The teams in town you care the most about right here on G&D.
You can feel like this guy who's really excited.
Oh my God.
That caught me. Damn it. Hold on, Tom. I'm doing the Ted Britt read here. I thought.
Holy
listen,
I did.
That's how you'll feel after you get a great deal at Ted Britt Ford on there. The built for holidays sales event right now. You'll have to call your mom because you're so excited. $17,400 below MSRP on a 2019 F-150 truck. And you'll say,
Mom!
$14,900 off the MSRP on a 2019 F-250 SD. You'll be so excited, you'll be screaming,
holy
$10,800 off the MSRP. I don't know if we're allowed to do that.
Mom!
On a new 2019 Ford Ranger, $5,500 below MSRP on a 2019 Ford Escape. Here's the point. They've been in business for 60 years. They're awesome at what they do. They'll get you great deals on cars right now at Ted Britt Ford, and you don't pay them anything for 60 days. Oh, I didn't mention that. That's right, because we're doing this Galahorn thing.
I don't have a Christmas spirit anymore.
You don't need one. You can still get a great deal. 60 days, no payments at Ted Britt Ford. That's basically 2 months. You don't pay them anything. An honor of what? 60 years in business. I know that. I was surprised, too, when I heard that. That was my reaction. They actually captured it real live on tape. Whatever.
Mom!
Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. Grab that shit. Go click away at TedBritt.com. You got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.